Soon as I walked into the HR department and started to help them with their restructuring plan, I learned that she'd put in a 2 weeks' notice. I thought about showing up to her farewell party, backing her into a corner and forcing her to admit that she wasn't serious about leaving me, but I stayed in my office instead. As the weeks passed, I thought she would call or text me to at least say, "Congratulations on the IPO being official," or, "I'm still willing to be your date to the ball," but she didn't. She didn't say anything, and I showed up to my IPO ball as the only executive without a date on his arm. "John? Man, are you there?" Corey cleared his throat. "Hello? Hello?" "Yes. I have the pictures from last week." He slid them across my desk. "How much longer do you need me to do this?" "Until I figure out what the fuck happened." I opened the folder and thumbed through the photos. Claire was shopping, having drinks with Sandra and Helen, cheering on the twins at their cheerleading competitions, and sitting on the beach with my charm necklace around her neck, staring off into the distance. "She's cruising down to Florida next week. She and her friends are taking a short ride to the Virgin Islands, and then they'll be flying back." "What? She's getting on a plane?" "There's a ticket in her name, so I assume that's what's going to happen." "When was the ticket purchased?" "Last Friday. She, Helen, and Sandra went to the airport to get them instead of buying them online for some strange reason." "That reminds me, she's been going to some type of phobia therapy at a private clinic every Tuesday and Thursday. I verified that the sessions are 3 hours long, and they're one-on-one. But there's doctor-patient privacy, so I can't tell you exactly what it's for." "I know what it's for. Thank you very much, Corey. I won't need you to do this for too much longer." "Take all the time you need." He gave me a half smile. "It's not a hassle at all." He patted my shoulder and walked out of my office. I still couldn't figure out how the hell me and Claire went from making love one night to breaking up the next day. It didn't make any sense. And I tried to think of every hypothetical scenario possible. She'd met someone else her age or older. Someone had said something to her, making her feel bad about our relationship. Or she woke up and decided that she really didn't want me anymore. Yet, none of those scenarios added up. From the pictures, her life was the same. I just wasn't in it anymore. She'd never mentioned anyone saying anything to her, and I'd checked her phone records over and over. There were a few stray numbers here or there, but the conversations were always a minute or less, so I figured they were probably quick conversations with her associates. And that last scenario, the most hurtful one, didn't make much sense either. Not when she'd almost said, "I love you too," right after I said, "I love you," the night before we broke up. I tossed the pictures into the trash and called the IT department. "Could you please send me those phone records again? Could you expand the field from 1 month ago to 3 months ago, please?" "Yes, that'd be fine. Yes, that would be the week of my birthday. Thank you very much." Chapter 28. Jonathan.
"Mr. Statham? Mr. Statham?"
My therapist tapped her notebook. "Yes."
"Did you hear what your mother just said?"
"No."
"She said she's starting to remember some of the past now. Are you ready to sit over here with us so we can discuss that?"
I stood by my floor-to-ceiling windows inside. "Miss Tate, can we please reschedule this session? I apologize, but I can't give you my undivided attention today."
"Not a problem. I'll have my secretary call Angela in the morning."
"Thank you." I heard her gathering her things and walking out the door. I felt a small hand on my shoulder and turned to see my mother looking up at me.
"Are you all right?" She tilted her head to the side. "I've never seen you like this. You've been moping around for weeks."
"No, I am not all right."
"What happened?"
"I..."
"Mr. Statham..."
Angela stepped into my office.
"I'm sorry to interrupt, but you promised that I could go home early since it's my birthday and, well, it's 1 o'clock and you haven't mentioned..."
"I'm so sorry, Angela. I completely forgot." I walked over to my desk,
and pulled out a drawer. I lifted a red gift bag up and handed it to her. "Happy birthday. I really appreciate everything you do. I told HR that you'll still need to be paid, but you don't have to come back until Monday. Enjoy the rest of the week off." "What? Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll make sure a temp will be here for you before I go. Oh, and Mrs. Statham," she said as she reached into her pocket and pulled out a new S-phone. "This came in for you yesterday. I had them give you a new number again." "Oh, well, I finally figured everything out, dear. I don't need any more S-phones. I'll just keep the number I have." "Good, because I think 7 numbers is enough," she laughed. "I'll see you Monday, Mr. Statham. Thank you again."
"You're welcome." I took my place at the window again and sighed. My mom put her hand on my shoulder.
"Are you going to tell me what happened now?"
"Claire left me."
"What?" she gasped. "When was this?"
"The day after we all had dinner together."
"Did she say why?"
"Not really." She patted me on the back.
"I'm so sorry to hear that. Have you tried calling her?"
I didn't answer. I wanted to call her every day, to ask if she was still out of her damn mind. But I promised to let her go, so I left it alone.
"I'll take that as a no, then," she said, sighing. "Things happen for a reason, son. Maybe you should date someone your own age next."
"You had to know it wasn't going to last a long time with an older woman. She probably had an agenda that you didn't even know about." I moved her hand off my shoulder and glared at her.
"Thank you, Mother. This is really helping."
"Oh, come on. I know you liked her a lot, but..."
"But what?"
"Nothing. Just take it from another older woman. These May-December romances aren't long-term material. I mean, I liked Claire from the moment I met her. I thought she was beautiful, charming, and hell, I would have never guessed that she was 40, but the fact remains. At the end of the day, you two are better off apart. You just don't know it yet. Would you like to eat lunch with me today? We can talk about this for as long as you need to."
"Sure, but I don't feel like leaving my office. Could you get that new Italian restaurant's menu from Angela before she leaves? We'll order in."
"Of course."
She stood on her toes and kissed me on the cheek. She patted my back one more time and headed for the door. As soon as I heard the doorknob turn, something in me snapped and I spun around.
"Wait, Mom. One second."
"What is it?
You want Chinese instead?"
"How did you know Claire's first name the day I introduced you to?"
"I didn't know why I'd never caught that before. I've been playing our breakup and the preceding weeks in my head every day. I was sure it was nothing, but I needed to make sure."
"What are you talking about?"
I walked over. "The day I introduced you to her, Angela said Miss Grayson over the intercom, and you asked me who she was referring to. I said my girlfriend, but before I could tell you her first name was Claire, you reached out and said it first.
How is that possible?"
"I don't know. I guess you mentioned her to me before and I happened to remember, so..."
"No, I didn't."
I noticed that she was shifting her weight from foot to foot. "I never mentioned Claire to you by name. Ever."
"Maybe you thought you didn't, but you..."
"I didn't. Answer me."
She didn't say anything. She just stared at me.
"Answer the question."
"Calm down, Jonathan. I think you're confusing yourself because you're hurt and angry right now. You shouldn't be taking this out on me. I'm going to get that menu so we can..."
"Stop."
I placed my hands over the door, blocking her escape.
I looked directly into her eyes and then I saw it. That look of guilt. That look she always got whenever she didn't want to admit to something.
I narrowed my eyes. "What the fuck did you do?"
"Watch how you talk to me. I'm your mother. You can't just..."
"What the fuck did you do?"
"Nothing. Can you please move so I can get the menu?"
"No."
She shook her head and walked past me, taking a seat on the couch. She patted the seat next to her,
but I stood still by the door. I met her at my gift shop a couple months ago. She bought those sea hooks you got for your birthday from me.
And?
And nothing. I didn't put two and two together until we were in your office that day, and I remembered that her name was Claire. Is that not okay? Does that make me a bad person?
I blinked. I was about to drop the subject, but then something else hit me.
Why did Angela say you had seven phones with seven different numbers?
You've been calling me from the same number since you got out of rehab.
Her face suddenly turned red, and she gasped.
No reason, I...
Tell me the truth.
It's not what you...
Stop bullshitting me.
You said something to her, didn't you?
I should have caught this a long time ago. Why didn't I see this?
I will lock both of us in this room until you start talking.
She sighed. I just told her that she was wrong for dating you, that someone her age should know better. And ever since that day I saw her in your office, I told her that she was wrong every chance I got. I want the details.
Please don't make me.
Now. She swallowed. At first, I was just calling her, and then I...
She stopped every few sentences, telling me how she called Claire every day and left threatening voicemails, how she sent her mean emails with photoshopped pictures, how she asked Angela to get her a new phone with a new number every Monday so the calls wouldn't be traced to her own phone.
And me and Vanessa...
Vanessa was in on this too? I balled my fists.
She nodded. She was the one who told me that Claire was only after you for your money. So we hired a private investigator to dig up some dirt on her past, and I used it against her. I even hired an investigator in Pittsburgh to follow her ex-husband and his new wife around so I could throw that in her face. I thought she was using you. I thought...
Did I ever ask what you thought?
Did I ever say, Mother, tell me what you think about Claire?
No.
No?
Are you sure?
I wasn't going to hold back anymore.
Or is that something else you don't remember?
She began to cry.
Do you want to know why the answer is no?
It's because it doesn't fucking matter what you think, and it never will. I don't need...
I was only trying to protect you. I didn't know that...
There are a lot of things you don't know, a lot of shit you can't seem to remember lately. But since we're sharing stories now, let me help you out. Let me tell you exactly why what you think will never matter to me. You were never there when I needed you to be, ever. You let me, a fucking kid, take care of a toddler while you and my father were out doing God knows what. You showed up high to everything I had at school. You were so fucking high, you made me drive the car to the store when I was 8. But you don't remember that, do you? You don't remember how you never did shit for us, how we had to beg you to come back with food, or how you left us in a trailer that damn near killed us. You still have yet to even apologize for that, because you don't want to own up to being the horrible fucking mother that you are.
I was on drugs. I've apologized over and over, and you just keep dragging this out because...
Get out.
Please, just let...
Get out. I pulled the door open and walked over to my desk. I was done with her. Sobbing, she slid her purse strap over her shoulder and headed for the door. She twisted the doorknob and slowly pulled it open.
Wait, I sighed. She looked back with tears in her eyes.
Yes?
I glared at her, tempted to say, I never want to hear from you again, stay the hell out of my life. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. As furious as I was with her, I was now even angrier with Claire. She didn't even think to tell me about everything that had gone on. She'd simply used my mom's behavior as an excuse to take the easy way out.
Take a seat.
No.
She wiped her face and sniffled.
I don't care how mad you are at me. You're not going to treat me like,
sit down, mother.
She moved away from the door and walked over to my desk, plopping down on the seat. I took a deep breath.
You and I are going to talk without our therapist. You're going to be completely honest with me, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. Once we're done talking, if nothing good comes of it, we're going to go our separate ways. I want you to know that I'll always take care of you and give you whatever you need. But we don't have to pretend like this relationship is something worth salvaging if it's really not. Can you? I want to be a part of your life regardless of this conversation. I don't think it's fair for you to write me off like I'm some type of... Was what you did to Claire fair to me? No, she sighed. And I'm sorry, but I said if this isn't something worth salvaging, so you better be completely honest with me. Are you willing to do that? Yes. Good. Give me 1 second and we'll start. I picked up my phone and called Executive Affairs. Milton, get me the proper paperwork to impeach a member of the board. I want it within an hour, and I'll be exercising Clause 17 to make the impeachment effective immediately. Chapter 29. Jonathan. 2 months later. Stacy ran her fingers through my hair and kissed my lips. She tried to part them open with her tongue, but they wouldn't budge. She slowly unfastened the top buttons of my shirt and started to pull it off, but I pushed her hand away. She sighed. I should have known you weren't up for this. She grabbed her bra off the chair and handed it to me. Can you help me put it back on? What? My bra. Can you help me put it back on? Oh, sure. The third row, please. And for the record, I'm officially taking the with benefits tag off our friendship. We haven't had sex in forever. I snapped the last hook on her bra. Fine. I'm really worried about you. She turned around and cupped my face. You're scaring me. Because I'm not having sex with you? I rolled my eyes. Because you're not being the Jonathan I know. Why can't you just call Claire? You're not the type to stay away from someone you like. This isn't you at all. You're suggesting that I call the woman who broke up with me and begged me to leave her alone. I'm just saying that that's not my style. Whatever. How long do you need me to stay in town? She asked. I need to tell the condo manager a date tomorrow. Not long. And you're more than welcome to stay here or at one of the beach houses. I rebuttoned my shirt. I just need you to go to the Juniper conference with me as my date in 2 weeks. I'll need someone to keep the single women away from me. I don't want them thinking I'm available. I don't have to accompany you to the morning tech sessions, do I? You know that stuff bores me out of my mind. Not unless you want to. Ha! No, parties and mixers only. And I'll do my best to act like I'm your girlfriend. By the way, since I flew out here, and you left me hanging again, I'll need a shopping spree on your behalf. Tomorrow. Actually, make it every day this week. Fair enough. I stood up. Are you spending the night here? I was actually going to... Can you? Why? I sighed. I just need someone to be here. I didn't feel like going into another spiel about Claire. Sure. She put on her shirt and kissed my cheek. I'll set up my bed in the living room. You want to get breakfast in the morning? We can't share a bed? No. Why not? We normally do. Jonathan, she sighed. You haven't called me Stacy once today. You've been calling me Claire ever since you picked me up from the airport. You didn't even ask me how I've been doing until we were at dinner. As a matter of fact, after I told you, you asked me about Ashley and Caroline. I didn't want to say anything, because I've never seen you like this, and I didn't want to upset you. She placed her hand on my shoulder. I don't want to put you in a situation where you sleep with me, subconsciously thinking that I'm Claire, because I'm not. I want you to get your shit together and figure this out. I'll be in the living room if you need me, okay? Okay. Good night, Stacy. Good night. See you in the morning. She gave me a reassuring smile and walked away. As soon as she left my room, I walked over to my dresser and pulled out the latest set of pictures. Claire was running on the Golden Gate Bridge,
hosting meetings at Starbucks, and lying on the beach in a beautiful black bikini, one of the ones I'd bought for her to wear on my yacht. I flipped through the pictures over and over, scrutinizing every part. Then I realized that the running pictures were all taken at night, and that these weren't the latest pictures. They were 2 weeks old. I called Greg. Greg, are you? My doorbell rang and I knew it was him. He was always nearby. I rushed downstairs and let him in, ushering him into the parlor room. I poured us both a glass of scotch and sat in front of the fireplace. Good seeing you, Greg. I took a few sips of my drink and leaned back in my chair, wondering why he wasn't doing the same. You called me in the middle of the night to have a drink with you, Mr. Statham? He set the glass down and raised his eyebrow. Did they find that suspect who was doing the random muggings on the Golden Gate Bridge? Not to my knowledge, sir. They haven't. I doubt he'd appear in the daytime, though. If you're concerned about your employee's commercial shoot there tomorrow, I can arrange to have... No, it's not that. It's... Can you make sure someone from security is on the bridge at night to watch Miss Grayson? She runs on Wednesday and Thursday nights between 8 and 9. She doesn't need to know you're there. I just need you to make sure nothing happens to her. Of course. I'll make sure that gets done, sir. And since I'm staying home tomorrow, could you get the newest pictures from Corey for me? I know she's on vacation this week, but I didn't get anything from last week. I already have them. He reached into his jacket and pulled out a small manila envelope. Corey wasn't sure if he should give these to you, so he gave them to me. What? Why? And since when do they talk behind my back? He doesn't think you can handle it. Quite frankly, neither do I. Greg, I said as I took another sip of my drink, give them to me. I don't know why you and Corey are suddenly best friends, but I think I'm more than capable of... Miss Grayson is dating someone else. What? My blood heated. What did you just say? She's dating someone else. I tried not to sound appalled. Who is he? Does it matter? It does. Give me the damn envelope. I slammed my glass down on the table. He sighed. He walked over to me like he was going to place it in my hands, but then he stepped past me and tossed it into the flames. Before I could react, he held his hand up. I'll make sure that Miss Grayson is safe at all times, whenever she runs on the Golden Gate Bridge, and whenever she goes to the beach alone. He cleared his throat. But I won't keep doing this to you, sir. With all due respect, it's not helping. The security team has stopped tracking photos for you as of today, and I've changed all the access codes to their offices. They'll no longer be pursuing this project. Under what orders? Are you trying to get fired? Are you trying to lose your most loyal employee? I have plenty of loyal employees, and they know how to do exactly what they're told. If you value your job, you will go back to corporate right now and have those photos reprinted before... You fire me? I narrowed my eyes at him. Are you testing me, Greg? I will fire you. You are not irreplaceable. He crossed his arms and raised his eyebrow. I stared at him long and hard, biting down on my tongue until it bled, because I couldn't fix my mouth to say, you're fired. If he was a regular security guard or driver, I would have fired him on the spot, no questions asked. But Greg was much more than that. He'd been there for me since the beginning, and he was my silent confidant, my right-hand man. And he and I both knew that I couldn't afford to lose him, ever. Fine. Good. Haley sends her regards. Her Scrabble team is on a flight to Italy as we speak. When she returns to the States, she would like for you to send her an early edition of the S-Phone Red. The hackers who attempted to break into your company's firewall last week have all been charged, and no harm was done to the internal system, according to Corey. Those are the updates you weren't paying attention to earlier today. Do you need anything else from me tonight? No. Very well, then. Have a good night, Mr. Statham. I sat in the parlor room until midnight. I tried drinking my pain away, but I could only get through one glass. All I could think about was Claire,
her kissing someone else, being held by someone else, having sex with someone else. Each bitter thought made me want to drive to her house and demand to know who the hell this new man was, to put a stop to it immediately. How can she move on so soon? How is that possible? After replaying some of our old memories, I decided to walk around my house until I was too tired to think anymore. I started outside, walking through the gardens and the pool deck, trying not to envision the times that Claire and I had made love under the trees. I came back inside and circled through the hallways, trying to ignore any place that I'd been with her. But it was no use. We'd been everywhere. I dragged myself into the living room and sighed. I placed another blanket over Stacy, kissing her on the forehead. "Hey." Her eyes fluttered open. "You okay?" "No." She moved over on the couch and motioned for me to lie down. "What's wrong? Why do you look like someone just died?" "She's dating someone else."
"What?"
"Claire, she's dating someone else."
"Oh,"
she frowned. "Well, it's probably not that serious. It's the fact that she's even able to date someone else that quickly is..."
"It's been 3 months, Jonathan."
"That's all? I felt like it had been at least a year." She wrapped her arms around me and sighed.
"You really love her, huh?"
I didn't answer. I just shut my eyes and tried to ignore the horrible pangs that were assaulting my chest. I didn't understand how it had gotten to this point. Still couldn't wrap my mind around why she didn't tell me about my mother. Why she thought us being apart was the solution for that. It didn't make any sense because she loved me. I knew she did. I could see it in her eyes whenever we made love. Whenever I showed up to her house and spent time with her and her family. Whenever we spent all night exchanging sarcastic comebacks. Or maybe she didn't. Maybe it was just me. Just as I was about to surrender to my heavy eyelids, I heard my phone ringing in the parlor room. It wasn't the special ringtone I had for Greg, Claire, or anyone else important, so I let it ring. But then it kept ringing, and ringing, and ringing. I rolled off the couch and walked into the other room, looking at the number. It was a San Fran number, but it didn't look familiar. I was tempted to silence it, but this person had already ruined my chance at sleep. "This better be fucking important," I growled.
"Jonathan?"
It was a young girl's voice.
"Is this Jonathan?"
"Who is this?"
"Ashley."
She started crying.
"Claire's Ashley?"
"What's going on?" I softened my tone. "What's wrong? Did something happen to..."
I need your help, please."
"What happened?" I grabbed my jacket and slipped into my shoes.
"I can't... I really need your help."
"Where are you?" I rushed to my garage.
"I'm on Tim Street at Haven Foods, and I'm..."
"Are you hurt?"
"No, but I..."
She said something in between sobs.
"Can you come get me?"
"I'll be there in a minute." I revved up my car. "Stay right there."
"Please don't call my mom,"
she whispered.
"Why not?"
"Please?"
"I won't." I wouldn't know what to say anyway. I sped over to the grocery store, racing into the parking lot, slowing down once I saw what the problem was. Jesus. I stepped out and looked at the mangled metal mess that was once Claire's Audi Q7. The front of the car was wrapped around a pole, and the windshield was shattered. The front right tire had been flung across the lot, and the driver's door was smashed in so deep that it looked like the car had run into the guardrail before crashing into the pole. From the way it looked, it was a miracle that Ashley had made it out alive. I looked over at her and noticed that she was trembling. I took off my jacket and put it over her shoulders.
"Shh.
It's going to be okay." She sniffled.
"Are you going to tell my mom about this?"
"I'm pretty sure she's going to find out somehow."
"I know you two aren't together anymore, and I'm sorry for calling so late, but I didn't know who else to call. My mom isn't the best option, if you know what I mean."
"Tell me what happened." She wiped her face on her sleeve.
"Me and Caroline wanted to go out tonight, but she wanted to hang out with that guy, Jake, remember? He finally asked her out, after texting her every day. She shrugged. It's her weekend to take our car, but I wanted to go on another date with Chris. I didn't want to have to rely on him for a ride because the last time we went out, he drove and I barely made curfew, so...
Calm down. I motioned for her to sit on the hood of my car.
We met at the movies, and everything was going fine. But then he said he wanted to spend some alone time with me. He told me to follow him somewhere, and it was an, a hotel.
Please give me the G-rated version.
He had the room set up really special, and he'd rented some movies, and he told me to just relax. We drank, like, 4 beers each, and I thought we were just going to mess around. Honestly, I swear, I didn't think he was going to try and sleep with me. This was only our 3rd time going out.
Okay, I braced myself for the rest.
We were kissing and touching and stuff, but then he started getting really rough and tried to take my pants off. I told him no, but he kept trying, so I threatened to scream. Then he got really angry and started cursing at me, calling me a tease. He told me he didn't really like me anyway. He just heard that I was easy. But that's not true. I've never been with anyone.
She cried.
So I ran out of the room. But when I got downstairs, all his teammates were in the lobby laughing at me and calling me all these names. They said he only invited me there so he could prove how easy I was. I rushed out to the parking lot and drove off as fast as I could. I was fine at first, but then I couldn't really see where I was going and the road started to get blurry and, well...
She waved her hand toward the wreck. I take it that you didn't ask your mom if you could use her car?
Are you kidding me? She would have said no. She always says no. She expects us to stick together all the time. I mean, Caroline is my best friend, and we do a lot of stuff together, but we do have our own lives. She acts like she doesn't see that. How can she expect us to share a car? It's not fair.
She shook her head and leaned on me, not saying anything for a long time. Once I felt like she'd completely calmed down, I cleared my throat. So, you called me because you want me to fix this before your mom gets back?
Well, yeah.
She sat up and smiled.
I think you can afford it.
And you're going to beg me not to tell her what happened?
Yes.
I smiled and tried not to laugh. Tell you what, I'm not going to tell her.
Really? You'd do that for me?
You are.
What?
I'll have it replaced by tomorrow morning. But you have to tell her that you took her car without permission and you were out drinking as soon as she gets back from her trip.
What? What type of sense does that make?
It makes perfect sense to me. She crossed her arms.
She'll ground me. I'll miss Charity Lane's party next weekend, not to mention Autumn Jam.
Probably so.
And she'll take away my cell phone, and not just take it away, she'll destroy it.
It could be 10 times worse.
But the car won't be wrecked. She won't even be able to tell that I drove it once you replace it. I'll be telling on myself for nothing. I'll be...
You could have killed someone tonight, Ashley. My voice was stern. You're lucky nothing happened to you. Or that you weren't pulled over.
Why were you drinking anyway? You're only 16.
She frowned.
I did it because I didn't want to seem lame in front of him. I've never done it before today, and I promise I'll never do it again. Do I really have to tell her that part?
Do you want me to replace the car?
Fine, she sighed. I'll kiss my social life goodbye.
It's only temporary. Who knows? Maybe she'll see you as being responsible for telling her, and get you and Caroline separate cars for your birthday.
Could you please talk her into that? That would be so awesome.
We'll see. I pulled out my phone. Greg, I need a tow truck. Yeah, for the Audi Q7. We also need to buy another one in the next few hours, same model, and we'll need to get the custom upgrades that we got before. See if you can work out something with the VIN number. I am in the parking lot at Haven Foods on Tim Street. Could you also bring something to eat for Ashley? Yes, McDonald's will be fine. I hung up.
Thank you for helping me with this.
Ashley looked down at the ground. You're very welcome.
You know, I really like you, Jonathan. I think my mom still likes you too, but she'd probably like you even more if I told her that me and Caroline are kind of missing you since you two broke up. I mean, we are missing you. Not many people understand our physics jokes, and I like your pasta a lot better than my mom's. So I'm thinking, if you want me to put in a good word for you, I think you should reconsider.
You're going to tell her about the car, Ashley. She laughed.
It was worth a try.
Chapter 30. Claire. How was your trip, sweetheart? Damien lifted my hand and kissed it. It was amazing. I had a lot of fun. Are you sure you don't want to go to the awards ceremony tonight? The organizers swear it won't be as boring as the last one. I'm sure. I placed my carry-on bag in my lap and buckled my seatbelt. I just want to unpack with a glass of wine and slowly readjust to the real world tonight. He laughed and leaned over to kiss me. As he ran his fingers through my hair, he tugged at the strings of the seashell headband I was wearing and whispered, "I missed you. I missed you too." He kissed me a few more times before moving away and revving up his car. He sped through the airport terminals and entered the highway. He looked over at me every few minutes, smiling whenever I looked at him. He was definitely sexy as hell, and my eyes couldn't get enough of him. But over the past couple weeks, it seemed like attraction was the only thing holding us together. Even though he was a few years older than me, 43, had experienced divorce just like I had, and seemed to be a perfect match, there was something missing. Our conversations weren't that deep. Our time together was hardly memorable, and he seemed to be more into impressing me than getting to know me. Maybe if you actually gave him a fair chance, you would think differently. You haven't honestly done that yet. Maybe you should open up about your past a bit. Maybe even tell him about Jonathan. I cleared my throat. How was your week while I was away? Terrible. In addition to not being able to see the most beautiful woman in the world every day, I got crushed by Statham Industries for the year-to-date pre-sales. What do you mean? They've outsold us by 15% for the year so far, and they haven't even opened up the pre-sales for their S-Phone Red yet. I hate Jonathan Statham. What? Why? I tried to sound indifferent. He drove onto the exit ramp. Okay, I don't necessarily hate him. No, I do hate him, he laughed. We've been at it ever since he started his company. He's our biggest competitor, and he knows it. I can't deny the man's a genius, but sometimes he makes moves just because he can, just to be a show-off so he can say that his company is number one. Like releasing a new product days before my company does. We'll have a marketing plan in place months in advance. We'll have commercials and billboards all over the country for a product that comes out on Friday. And just to be an ass, he'll release his competing product on Thursday. I tried not to laugh. So, it's a friendly rivalry? No. He pulled in front of my house and turned to face me. We're polite whenever we see each other, but we don't get along at all. Between you and me, I really respect him. But it always seems like he has the upper hand, like he always gets the best stuff first. I feel like no matter what I do, I'm always getting his sloppy seconds. Shit. I'm so sorry. He kissed my cheek. I shouldn't be talking about my competitor. I should be focusing on you. He stepped out and opened my door. Once I was out of the car, he pulled my luggage from his trunk and walked me up to my house. You sure you don't want to come tonight? He stepped closer to me. We wouldn't have to stay the whole time. Actually, if you want, we could go for 5 minutes, and then we could go back to my place. I felt butterflies fluttering in my stomach as he smiled his pearly whites. See? You can have feelings for someone else. I'm sure. I leaned forward to kiss him. He wrapped his arms around my waist and pulled me even closer, so close that I could feel the large bulge in his pants. Then I felt my stomach's butterflies fluttering harder, making sounds. Ugh, these aren't feelings. I'm just hungry. Thank you for picking me up from the airport, Damien. I pulled away to catch my breath. You're more than welcome. He stepped back. Can I ask you something? Of course. Am I being friend-zoned? What do you mean? We've been dating for a while now, and you hold back whenever we kiss, and you never invite me in. He looked concerned. If we were platonic friends, I wouldn't be kissing you at all. I kissed his lips again to make a point. You're definitely not being friend-zoned. I just like to wait a while before I invite someone in, unless it's Jonathan Statham. I understand. Would you like to be my date to the Juniper Conference next week? It's a week-long event, and it's at a huge resort in the suburbs. I can get you a separate suite if you don't feel comfortable sharing. Maybe it'll help you move on if you share. No need for a separate suite. I stood on my toes and kissed him again. I'd love to go with you. Okay, well, I'll set everything up and give you all the details over dinner Thursday. Good night, Claire. Good night, John. I cleared my throat. Damien. Good night, Damien. 2 days later. I tossed Ashley's cell phone into a bowl of water and placed it in the freezer. I wasn't one of those parents who trusted their kids to not use their phone just because I said so. I made sure no cell phone really meant no cell phone. I saw tears streaming down her face as I continued my lecture, but they weren't having a sympathetic effect on me at all. What if you'd wrecked my car? What if something had happened to you? And to top it off, you'd been drinking? What would have happened if the police pulled you over and you got a DUI at 16? You could have ruined your life before it even began. Did you think about that? My voice was louder than it had ever been. I've raised you so much better than that, Ashley Marie Grayson. I can't even talk to you right now. I shook my head. Go to your room. Get used to being in there for the next 4 months. I really am sorry, she sniffled as she walked away. I leaned against the counter and shook my head, exhaling over and over again. I was beyond furious with her, and extremely confused as to why she'd snitched on herself. I would have never known about this past weekend if she didn't mention it, and it wasn't like her to mention it. That wasn't her personality at all. Before I could get through a recap of my vacation, she'd blurted everything out. Late night date. Hotel. Beer. Taking my car without permission. She'd sobbed as she told me what happened, and even though she emphasized that she brought my car back without a single scratch and promised to never drink again, I had to punish her to prevent this from ever happening again. Is 4 months long enough? I grabbed a carton of mint chocolate chip ice cream and walked into the living room. I plopped down on the sofa and sifted through the channels, searching for something happy to watch. I needed to clear my brain. Unfortunately, there was nothing on but late afternoon talk shows. Dr. Phil was a rerun, and I'd seen all the shows on HGTV before. I started flipping through the premium channels and stopped once I saw Harry Potter. I sighed. It wasn't that long ago that Jonathan had come over and watched that with me, Ashley, and Caroline. As a matter of fact, the day it happened, it was like I wasn't even there. The three of them talked through most of the movie. They argued about what was true to the book and what wasn't, what parts they liked the best, and who was the biggest fan. It was so bad that at one point, they started betting each other on film trivia, using chocolate shots to punish whoever got the facts wrong. When the film was over and Caroline emerged as the winner, I thought he and I would finally get some alone time. But they decided to watch the next film in the series. I turned the TV off and went up to my room, crashing face first onto my bed. It had been 3 months since I'd broken up with Jonathan, and I'd once again failed to go a day without thinking about him. I thought that more time away from him would make him fade from my memory, that every day that passed would be another day that he wouldn't infiltrate my thoughts, and that dating someone else would help erase him. But that was far from the truth. He crossed my mind every time I went to sleep alone, every time I woke up without him by my side, and every time I stepped into my new office, where no flowers were waiting for me. I felt a lump rising up my throat and began to cry. I didn't attempt to wipe the tears away. I let them fall and rolled over on my side, allowing our memories to play in my mind over and over. I was remembering our first date, remembering when he pushed me against the railing and slipped his arms around my waist. Just as he was about to press his lips against mine, my phone rang, and interrupted the memory. Damien. Hello? I answered softly. Hey, sweetheart. Are we still on for our date tonight? Shit, I forgot all about that. Sure. What time should I be ready? 7 o'clock. Are you okay? You sound a little sick. Oh, yeah, I sniffled. I'm fine. Allergies, you know? Do you want to stay in instead? We can... No, no, I'll take a Zyrtec or something. I really need... I mean, I really want to go out tonight. Okay, then. I can't wait to see you. Me either. See you soon. I hung up and looked at my watch. 4 o'clock. I decided to take my time getting ready, thinking that that would help me keep my memories of Jonathan at bay. I rolled off the bed and ran a warm bath with extra bubbles. I set my favorite scented candles all around the ledge and quickly undressed, slipping my body underneath the suds. Ah. I lay back and let my shoulders touch the cool ceramic. I reached for my waterproof radio and tuned it to the classical music station, wincing once I heard a familiar refrain. It was the song Jonathan and I danced to on his yacht. Step back, step forward. Your dancing is getting a lot better, Claire. I think we should finish this lesson downstairs. I changed the station. Talk radio. And in financial news this afternoon, Statham Industries is set to reach yet another milestone as its pre-sale orders have practically toppled the... I shut it off. I slid completely under the water, letting my head go underneath, holding myself there as I tried to fight the onslaught of more memories. We were sitting in the tub together, watching each other, smiling at nothing at all, laughing without a care in the world. Come here, Claire. He reached out for me to move across the jacuzzi, rolling his eyes when I didn't move. He slid over to my side and put his arm around me. Your difficulty never ceases to amaze me. Is taking a bubble bath your favorite thing to do? Yeah, but it's 10 times better when I'm alone. Stop lying to me. Who said I was lying? I reached up and threaded my fingers through his hair, looking into his eyes as he gazed back into mine. I leaned in and brought his head down lower for a kiss, but he moved back. Stop. He moved my hand away from him and shook his head, sighing. He pulled me into his lap, holding me against his chest, and then he kissed me. I love you, Claire. My heart stopped. My body stilled. I wasn't sure what to say. You don't have to say it back. He planted kisses along my throat. I know you're extremely fragile and not sure about exactly what this is, but I want you to know that I do love you, and there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. I'll do whatever you ask me to do if it'll make you happy. He brought his hand up and ran his fingers through my hair, softly kissing my lips, rendering me completely speechless again. And before you even attempt to ask the obvious, I've never felt this way about anyone, ever. Only you. I shot back up to the surface and gasped for air, inhaling as much of it as I could. As I finished my bath, I wiped away tear after tear, knowing that if Jonathan was here, he wouldn't let me cry. He would find a way to make me laugh. I blew out the candles that surrounded me and climbed out of the tub. Holding back the rest of my tears, I wrapped myself in a robe, the same one he'd seen me in when he first came over. I opened my closet and thumbed through my dresses, stopping once I saw the ones he'd bought me for the IPO ball. I like this one. I twirled around in a one-shoulder white gown that barely touched the floor. It doesn't make me look like too much of a bride, though, does it? He leaned back in his chair and shook his head. Are you going to be like this all day? You haven't said anything about any of the dresses I've tried on. Do you not care what I wear to the ball? Are you using your silence to tell me that you don't want me to go with you anymore? He raised his eyebrow. Miss Grayson, are you ready for the next dress? The attendant asked. Mr. Statham picked out another one while you were trying on this one. Are you going to speak to me at all today? I narrowed my eyes at him, waiting for him to answer, but he didn't say a word. I rolled my eyes and turned around, following the attendant back into the dressing room. I slowly slipped out of the white gown and watched as she unzipped the black bag that hung over the door, as she removed the dress from the plastic. I gasped. Stunning, isn't it? She smiled and signaled for me to raise my hands above my head. She took her time pulling it over me, zipping up the back, and aligning the strapless top. I looked at myself in the mirror and shook my head. The dress was flawless. It was a nude-colored gown that accentuated my every curve. It was covered in sparkling crystals, and the sweetheart neckline gave way to a skirt that fell in soft satin waves, a skirt that made it appear like I was floating as I walked. "Miss Grayson," the attendant held the door open for me. "Are you ready now?" I nodded. I walked into the studio room, immediately feeling the pressure of Jonathan's eyes on my body with every step I took. I stepped onto the small platform and moved in front of the trifold mirror. "Are you going to say something about this one?" My eyes connected with his. "Why haven't you said anything? You don't like any of the dresses?" He blinked. Then he stood up and walked onto the platform, circling around me like he was assessing every inch of me. "You've looked beautiful in every dress you've tried on today. Every single one." He trailed his fingertips across my bare shoulders. "I'll buy them all. But I can only wear one to the IPO ball. You're supposed to help me choose which..." "I will." He pressed his finger against my lips. "After you try them on for me again at home." I flipped past all 12 of those dresses and picked out a small little black dress. It was extremely simple, but it had a few elegant details along the straps that made it stand out. I snapped on a bra and pulled the dress over my head. As I was doing my makeup, the doorbell rang. "It's only 6 o'clock. He's an hour early." "Ashley? Caroline! Go get the door!" I put on a thick layer of mascara and a touch of blush. I brushed glittering bronze over both my eyelids, and the doorbell rang again. "Ashley and Caroline, get the door, please!" I took out a tube of red lipstick. I was about to place it against my mouth, but the doorbell rang again. Ugh, are they sleeping or something? I rushed down the steps and opened the door. Jonathan. He was wearing black slacks and a white button-down shirt, with the sleeves pushed back to his elbows, with the top buttons undone. He didn't look too happy to see me. He looked enraged, like he was about to hurt someone. My heart started racing, and I tried to say something, anything, but no words came out of my mouth. "Hello, Claire," he seethed. Silence. He looked me up and down, narrowing his eyes at me. "You look really nice. Are you going somewhere?" "Yes." "And where would that be?" I took a step back. "I'm going out on a date."
"Really?"
"Yes."
"You sure about that?"
He shut the door and moved forward. "Jonathan, I felt his lips against mine, his arms possessively folding around me. I murmured as he slid his hands underneath my dress, as he whispered,
"You're not going anywhere,"
against my neck. My knees started to buckle and he caught me before I could fall. He assaulted my mouth with his tongue until I couldn't breathe, and then he carried me upstairs to my room.
"You're still mine."
He tossed me onto the bed and moved on top of me.
"You'll always be mine."
He kissed me again and again, making me moan at the passionate touches I'd been missing all these months. "I meant to say I love you too," I choked out once he let my lips go. "I love you too." He ripped my dress off and kissed a line down my stomach.
"Then why'd you leave me?"
"Ah." I felt his tongue swirling between my thighs, preventing me from answering.
"You shouldn't have left me."
He unbuttoned his jeans and slid them off. Then he moved back up and straddled me, looking deep into my eyes.
"You really shouldn't have done that."
He pushed his dick into me, taking his time entering, sliding in, inch by inch. "Please."
"Please what, Claire? Give you what you want, even though you don't deserve it?"
He wasn't even halfway inside yet. He was teasing my nipples with his tongue, enjoying my frustration. "Please, just..." The loud ring of the doorbell interrupted my sentence. "Just fuck me."
"Shouldn't you go get the door?"
He raised his eyebrow.
"It's probably your date."
I shook my head.
"Why not?"
He slid in further.
"It's not nice to keep him waiting."
Before I could respond, He buried himself deep inside of me, and I wrapped my legs around him. He thrust into me wildly, kissing my lips to stifle my screams, keeping his eyes locked on mine. "Mom! Mom!" Caroline called from the other side of my door. "Damien's outside!" Jonathan smiled and slowed his rhythm. He pushed my legs away from his waist and rolled over so I was on top of him. "Move." I did as I was told, rocking my hips against him, leaning down to kiss his lips, not ever wanting to stop. But then my door opened, and in walked Caroline, then Ashley.
"Damien is downstairs. We told him to wait in the living room."
My eyes widened, and I gasped. I reached for a blanket to pull over my body and looked down at Jonathan. Only, he wasn't there. It was only a dream. It was only a dream? My chest tightened and tears formed at the corner of my eyes. I rolled off my bed and onto the floor, staring straight ahead.
"Do you want us to tell him you're not here? We should tell him that anyway. Why? I thought we agreed that we liked him. We do, but I don't think she does. He is pretty hot, though. You think he's as hot as Jonathan? Ha! No. But if she ever asks, we should say yes to make her feel better." "Hmm. Okay. Well, I don't think I'm allowed out of my room for more than 5 minutes, so you should probably go tell him that she's not..."
"No, it's okay." I stood up. "Thank you."
Chapter 31. Claire. I rearranged my clothes in the hotel suite's closet for the umpteenth time and shut the doors. Bored, I walked into the living room and sat across from Damien.
"Is that 5 or 6 shipments?"
He gave me an apologetic smile as he continued to talk on the phone.
"Can you get that verified by receiving, please?"
"Yeah."
"No, I'm at the Juniper conference. 7 days. So that gives you plenty of time to figure out what's going on."
"All right.
Keep me posted."
He set his phone down and sighed.
"I'm so sorry, sweetheart."
"It's okay. It's a working vacation. I completely understand.
Come here."
He locked his eyes on mine, and I walked over, prepared to sit in the other chair, but he pulled me into his lap.
"Are you okay? You didn't say much on the way over."
I stilled. I didn't think he'd notice that, since his music had been so loud. I'd kept my head turned towards the window for the entire 2-hour drive, wondering why I'd agreed to come here, when I was still so wrapped up in someone else.
"I'm just a little stressed," I said. "I guess I just need to relax."
"Hmm."
He pressed his head against the back of my shoulder.
"Do you want to do something to relax together, then?"
"Depends on what it is." He ran his hands up and down my hips and kissed the back of my neck, making my body yearn for more.
"Lay down with me."
I nodded and eased out of his lap. He clasped my hand and led me into the bedroom, pulling the covers back and using the remote to dim the lights. He disappeared for a moment, and I decided to get more comfortable. I took off my earrings, slid out of my shoes, and suddenly felt him unbuttoning my pants from behind. I felt my nerves running wild, but not out of desire or anticipation. It was out of anxiety.
"Why do I feel like this is cheating?"
He spun me around and unfastened my shirt and my bra, sliding them off my shoulders as he looked into my eyes. Then he smiled and pulled me onto the bed, motioning for me to get in first. He started to undress himself, leaving nothing but his briefs on. I climbed into the bed and sighed as he climbed in behind me, as he started to press kisses along my bare back. I rolled around to face him.
"I don't know if I can..."
He cut my words short with a deep and inviting kiss, making me forget whatever I was about to say. I tried to hold back, tried to resist, but I couldn't help it. I kissed him back, letting my tongue dip deeper into his mouth, running my hands against his hard chest. He tore his mouth away from mine and began kissing down my neck, my collarbone, my breasts. He sucked one of my nipples into his mouth and softly bit it, making me cry out in pleasure.
"Oh, Jonathan." He gripped my other breast and kneaded it with his palm, using his fingertips to pinch the most sensitive part. Before I knew it,